Barry and Joe. You got a big stick there, Patsy? The day we needed it, you didn't. All right, turn in your Bibles with me over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, our word of the month. Acts chapter 17. If I'm not mistaken, this will be the last time we'll be in this for Sunday morning at least. We will be Wednesday night for the final excerpt from our word of the month, and that is our theme. I just want to call your attention here to just one verse as we begin this morning. As Paul is now is in Athens, and he is dealing with some of the people that are there. He's been there for some time. And as Paul is, he never goes into a place and then leaves it unless he's started a lot of trouble. So in some ways, you could call Paul one of the biggest troublemakers there ever was. Because when Paul was in the area and he began to speak, he always spoke about the things of God. He was a constant witness for Christ. But everywhere he spoke, he laid it on the line and made people mad, ended up in jail or beaten. Others, he just made them make decisions, and they didn't like that. Paul attacked their cultures, their gods. And you don't, that's not very good if you're running for public office, you know. You try to blend in and, you know, just compromise. Paul was not that kind of a person. And Acts chapter 17 is a vivid reminder of some things that take place when Paul was in the area. He has come to Athens because he is waiting on his traveling companions to get there. They were in Thessalonica, and now he has gone to Athens, and he is waiting for them, according to Acts chapter 17. Verse 16, now while Paul was there waiting for them, his spirit began to be stirred in him. And I hope that you have a little bit better interpretation of that word. And that means he didn't just feel an emotion. He felt provoked to do something about how he felt. In other words, I can disagree with people, but I may not be motivated to attack them and try to change their mind or challenge them. Paul was not that way. Paul was so provoked that he could not control himself, and he began to address all of these false gods and idolatry that he saw around him. Therefore, he began to dispute in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout people and in the marketplaces with them that met with him. And then in verse 18, certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. I'm just going to stop right there. Let's bow as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your people, the sheep of your pasture, would be lost without a shepherd, without your word, without you giving us instructions. Lord, we thank you for your guidance and your word. And we know it is not just cliches, it is not mythology, it is not even philosophical musings. This is the very word of God as moved by the Holy Spirit from the throne of God. And we know that when it is the word of God, we can take it at face value and stake our lives on the very truth of it and live our lives that way. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now keep your Bible open for just a moment if you will. By the time you get to verse 34, the same chapter. It's kind of like fast forwarding, you know, in a movie. You just go from the beginning, go to the, okay, this is the way it's going to end. And then we're going to come back and see what took place so that it ended the way that it did. You can almost put it down any time that the Word of God is preached, taught, shared in a home, wherever it might be, with, say, more than one person, maybe with a group of people, with a family. By the time that individual leaves, as Paul is about to leave Athens, he's going to leave this kind of result. Verse 34. Certain people, the King James Version says cleave or clave unto him. What that means is they respected him enough to listen to him. And what did they do? The Bible says, and they believed him. So we have, that's verse 34, we have some that are believers. And among them are certain people. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted some that would listen, notice the truth of God, believed him, be convicted of sin in their life, receive Christ as their Savior, and Paul now is ready to go on. But wait a minute. I said there were other groups. Where are they? Look just above that. Not everybody believed. Verse 33. Now, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them mocked. Others said, we'll put it off and maybe hear you another time. So the other two groups, and there are groups, the other two groups are saying, that's the funniest joke I've heard in months, Paul, about a man who rose from the dead. Ah, that's, you must be a fool. You must be part of a circus. Maybe you're part of a vaudeville act. Maybe you can do some tricks for us and stand on your head and we'll get a big laugh. So they mocked him, we would say today, made fun of him, ridiculed him. And the other group is, well, I'm not so sure. I'll maybe come back to the last night of the revival and I'll listen to you again. There's one problem with that, a big problem. They don't ever get to hear it again. You know why? The Bible says Paul left. He went on. The next verse says he left Athens. So those people that are saying, I'm going to hear it again some other time, they just stayed lost, confused, maybe anxious because they never received Christ. So the groups, we have the mockers, we have the procrastinators putting it off, and we have those that believed as well. So Paul is speaking at Athens. He is debating with some of the philosophers. He goes through the plan of salvation, the work and life of Jesus Christ, how God sent him, all that. And then we see the results. The three groups. The believers, the mockers, the procrastinators. Now, I want to concentrate here on these individuals, these groups. What had to take place in the hearts and minds of those that were listening to him? We can get a real good clue if you look back at the people Paul was talking to in verse 18. Go back in your Bible to verse 18. The scripture says, there were certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics that encountered him, and then he takes off from there after listening to the Epicurean philosophers and the Stoic philosophers. Athens was a cultural center of the Roman Empire. Rome was, Athens was, and then later it's going to be Corinth. And they say it was the cultural center because it was the center for art, medicine, philosophy, beliefs, religions, gods, that's where you found it. Why? Because here was where Plato was in education, higher education. Plato's student was who? Socrates. And then Socrates' student was Aristotle. All of them taught there. So this was the hotbed of culture. You want to be somebody? Be in Athens. Study under Aristotle, under Socrates, under Plato. Well, what about these two mentioned here? Epicurus and Stoic. The man who invented was called Zeno, Z-E-N-O. And Stoic or Stoicism was what his philosophy was. And he had hundreds of thousands of followers. Both of these did. All of them did. This is what you did. You professed one type of lifestyle over another. Let's look at just a couple to see how Paul could ever get through to some of these people. Who was Epicurus? I know y'all are taking real fast notes because you don't want to miss any of this. Epicureanism, if you just look it up on your, what are those little black things? Just hit a button there and look up something. Epicurus, Epicureanism, this is what their philosophy was. See if it doesn't sound like it's 21st century, because it hadn't died out. Epicureanism was this. Life was made for you to have pleasure. You were born into this world to seek pleasure and avoid pain. Anybody heard this phrase? If it feels good, do it. If you decide that you were born a male but you really want to be a female, go ahead. Epicureanism. All pleasure, no pain. If it brings pleasure to me, I can do it. And who are you to say that I can't do that? If it feels good to me and this is what I want to do, I can do that. That was Epicureanism. What was Stoicism? Just the opposite. You ever heard of somebody being, he's a Stoic kind of person. He has a Stoic face. What that means is Stoicism was, you can't be touched by anything. Pleasure, pain, doesn't make any difference. I have no emotions. I don't feel anything. I'm not going to feel anything. I don't want to feel anything. I'm like a block of stone is where the Stoicism comes from. Never change expression. Let nothing bother you. Don't love anybody. Don't hate anybody. I'm just me doing my thing. Sound familiar? It's still around today. How in the world did Paul, simply through preaching the truth of God's word, that God sent Jesus and Jesus died and then Jesus rose, how in the world did that ever break through that type of lifestyles and view of the world? How could God ever do that? Through simply preaching his word. Let me give you a few examples. Coming up on November the 11th, you see in the bulletin, or if you like most of us, nobody reads it anyway, but it's back there. I want you to look back, if you will, to November the 11th. So I'll know that everybody at least was told. Anybody know when 11th is? Next Sunday is the 4th. The next Sunday is the 11th. In November, 2018, in case you're wondering. Veterans Day, November the 11th. Precisely at 11 a.m., we will ring the church bell as Americans across the nation will toll their bells 11 times in remembrance of those who served and sacrificed for our country. Why that day? World War I ended at precisely the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour in 1918. In other words, it's the 100th anniversary on that day. And we will ring our church bell 11 times to remember that. World War I was considered to be, by many people, quote, the war...